But through singing, they believe and they just spread the gospel. So I want to introduce Doug and Jackie.
Thank you, Sarah. And yes, they are excellent hosts, she and Andre. And it's a great place to stay, especially if you're not modest. And if you go, I shouldn't even say this. But if you ever had the luxury of taking a shower in their bathroom, upstairs, they have a heating vent in the floor, which is actually just a hole that looks down into their kitchen. I took my towel and put that over it. So for all of you people, just so you know, they have a, and that's the charm of their house, okay? But it's, I didn't think about that. So anyway, so now we know how life is up here in the North Country. And Jackie and I are really, really excited to be here with you and looking forward to this. And you know what? I'm not gonna delay. I do have a video, and before my wife comes up, I'm gonna have her say a few words. Why don't we watch the video, and that'll give you the whole in 2 minutes. It'll give you the whole spectrum of our ministry, at least a little bit of it. So, dun da 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 da, da, and here is our video. Wow. That never does for me. Thank you. Wow. And unfortunately, they won't be able to hear you clapping today, but it's hard. There we go. It's hard to believe, but they are such a fantastic choir, and how would you like to have them on your stage this morning? That would be tremendous, and they would fill everything. When they come into a church, we have our concerts in churches, and when they go there, we just take over the whole place. Some places were almost as big as the church itself, but praise the Lord, they are, half of them are saved and half of them are unsaved. I'll get more into that in a minute. Jackie has a couple words to say about us and about whatever she wants to. Just don't take too long.
We are glad to be here today, and I'm just going to real quick give our prayer card plug. As you hear every missionary say, we really depend on your prayers. And I also want to mention that there's only two of us on the prayer card, but there's actually three of us in our family. And our son Nathan is in Springfield, Missouri. He's in graduate school getting his master's in music education. And I understand your pastor's son is taking something similar to what he did with music technology. And also, what I was telling a couple of people before the service, and they said, share that. You've had Brenda Lilly here, who we work with. She's sung in fire choir with us, and we don't work with her directly now, but Lord willing, we will do so more in the future. But their children's productions, their theater that they've done, they sing, when they perform three different musicals, the soundtrack that they perform to was orchestrated and produced by our son. So that's another little partnership, how God works together, and we're excited about that. But we appreciate your prayers. One little prayer request. Nathan was in a car accident last Saturday, and he's fine, thankfully, but we're still waiting tomorrow to hear from the insurance company whether or not they're going to total his car. So we're praying that they won't, because that'll be a big hassle. And but if they do, that God would move and help him find a car and everything else. But he's been walking to class and walking to work. And so thanks for your prayers. We appreciate God's protection over all of us as we travel. And so make sure you get a prayer card. Also, we have an email newsletter list. If you want to sign up for that, you can. And thanks for having us today.
So let me tell you a little bit more about our choir. We are unconventional, as you can see about that, and we're not a church choir at all. A lot of people think immediately, oh, another choir, another church choir, and why should we want to help support another church choir? And in fact, we have a pastor from New York. I won't tell you who he is, but it doesn't matter because you don't know who he is anyways. But we visited their church. What? Oh, I'll tell you later. No, I won't. So anyway, we are over, A few years ago, the choir started and everything was going really great. And one of our pastor friends, who happens to be, you're the second, we've been missionaries 26 years, and you are the only, the second female pastor we have ever been at. You know, that's kind of strange. And I don't quite understand this, because hasn't everything changed completely about all this kind of stuff? But anyway, I guess some of the people haven't gotten the message yet. So I think we need to be praying some more. And the other pastor is a fantastic woman, and we just were with her and her husband a little while ago, really on fire. They seem to be actually more energetic. I don't want to push so much, get your head so big here, but they seem to have so much more energy than probably at least 40% of our other church pastors. But anyway, don't say it. But I'm from New York, and that's a long ways away from here, and I know you're not going to say anything that I just said, okay? And Jackie's from New Jersey. Oh, yeah? We met in Rochester, New York. I was the choir director there for several years. She was a Kodak engineer, very smart, not so smart. Very talented, not so no. And you know, God gave us a son who actually, and this is the truth, I'm not bragging. I kind of am, but I'm not really. He has more artistic ability than I do. Don't tell him this, so, okay? I like to keep him thinking. I got to keep working at it. And because I do art, drawing, stuff like that, he can take a person's photograph and make it identical with just drawing it out. And I can't. It looked like Donald Duck by the time I get done with you, no matter who you are. And then music. So he is now going, he's just chosen music like I chose music. But anyway, where was I going with all this? That's who we are. We met in there. And God found a way to get us on the mission field in spite of man. I want to put that in there, okay? Because sometimes the people who you think are in control of things and they pull the strings, I want to say, God is actually the string puller, and when man gets in the way, God steps up to the plate. And so always depend on God. We should depend on him first, but sometimes we have to go through channels, you know? And God uses those channels, and he did that with us. And he finally got us to be missionaries. And we started out doing many different things. For a while, we were in television, and I got to work. I was the pre-production manager and do sets and writing and all that fun stuff. And then God moved us into the fire choir, which was not just by chance. Somebody says, Doug, if you could do anything, what you want to do with my bosses, what would it be? And just like that, God gave me this idea that I never had before. Jackie never heard of it. And I said, I want to start a black gospel choir, not for church people, for non-believers. He said, how would that work? And here's how it works. We advertise all through Amsterdam and all the surrounding areas. We have people coming from as far as an hour and a half away down at the end, the bottom of our country. Yes, people can get to the bottom in the north within a couple hours. It's a small country. And we have people come from a long distance. And so we advertise. We are not a religious choir. We want people to know that we sing black gospel, which is really, really popular. Anybody here black of the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir? Okay, they are a fantastic choir. Most people but a lot of people know them because they're known throughout the whole country here. And I pattern our choir after them. I've always been praying, God, make our choir the Brooklyn Tab of Europe, because we will get a lot of, not just attention, I don't want that, but influence. God will open the doors for a choir for influence. That's what I want for us, because I want to get the gospel out in as many secular places as possible. Because, folks, that's where the people are that need the Lord, okay? They're not usually in the churches, okay? We don't usually have 500 people coming into our church every week that don't know the Lord. But you know what? When you have advertised for secular non-believers, no matter what religion they are, that's who we get with the fire choir. And so we advertise all over, and we let people know who we are. We are first and foremost a community choir. I had somebody, when we advertised for the very first time, he emailed me just the week before we started, and he said, do you pray? He said, I want to join the choir. And we were really thrilled because we didn't know who would show up. You know, we're starting a whole new ministry. We have nothing to, we're not taking something that wasn't working or something that already was and making it better. We were taking something from scratch. And so when we got an email, my first response, he says, "I'm really interested in your choir. It looks really great from our advertisement." And I think, well, praise the Lord, we have somebody. And then he says, "Do you pray? Do you preach? And do you do anything religious?" Well, I already knew about what I was going to say about this because the Lord told me, "Doug, you are not to do anything religious in your choir." So how do you think my superiors felt when they heard our vision? "What do you want to do, Doug?" "Well, we're going to have a choir, but we're not going to be religious." And it just doesn't have a ring of wholesome Christianity truth there. And so I told him, I says, "But what we do is it's a stealth ministry. We don't want them to know who we are, and they shouldn't know who we are. All they need to know is they're going to have fun. They're going to sing on stage, and they're going to sing a kind of music they love to sing." And come to find out, people don't want you to preach at them, but you know what? They love to sing black gospel music. Isn't that strange? It's worked to our advantage. So anyway, that's the way we do it. We advertise them. All they're going to do, let me finish that story. So that guy wrote me back, and so I wrote him. I said, "So that's what we do. We do nothing religious." And he wrote back, and he says, "Oh, well, I see from your website that you're an evangelistic choir and that you're Christian and that your purpose is to save people." He didn't use those words. He's in Dutch. And so I go, "Oops, we left our website online, which had all that stealth information open to the world. We didn't realize. We forgot all about it." So I said, "Well, actually," I said, "that's true. That's who we are." I said, "But we only sing the truth, the music. We sing gospel music, and I believe you'll love it so much that you won't be threatened by it. You'll just enjoy it. And if it's up to you if you want to find Jesus yourself." I kind of just opened it up to him, but he wrote me back. He says, "I'm not going to be part of that choir. I'm going to tell all my friends and my family not to join that choir." And that was our lesson of being wise as serpents, which we are now. So now we just make sure our website over here, which has our plan, is blocked from the rest of the world. So anybody with an outside IP address cannot get there, and they can't find out the truth. They get the truth through, guess what? We sing only the word. When I say we're a black gospel, literally we sing only gospel songs. And you may have a King James or NIV version. Our choir gets the music condensed version of the gospel. And we usually have 13 or 14 songs. And I tell everybody in the choir that joins, right now we have 100 people in the choir. It kind of goes up, and we haven't been 100 for a while. We've gone down a little bit. And so anyway, I tell everybody that joins, I said, if you want to be in this choir, you're going to have to memorize all the music because you're going to look terrible up there with music in front of you. And all we do is words. We don't have printed music. People don't know how to read, but we know how to teach them, okay? So we give everybody a CD with their part, and we say, you went on stage, you got to learn the music, okay? But in reality, our stealth mission is for people to plant the word of God in their hearts. But you can't just plant it in your hearts. That's kind of impossible. You have to plant it up here. Only the Holy Spirit can bring it from here down to here. And we found out, and then when we were doing that, and God gave us the vision, I don't know if you've ever had the experience. You probably have because you planted a church. And you're thinking, okay, God, I'm going to answer the call. I'm going to do this thing, but I sure hope it's not me and it's you. And because it's got to work, doesn't it? That's what your church has to work. And so we get over there and we realize, okay, now the rubber meets the road. Now, how do we do this thing? And we just said, God, show us how to do it. And strangely enough, God came to the party. And God brought in the first season we had 35 people. He always brings us half of a number of people. He always brings us, half of them are unsaved. And the other ones are Christians from around the area that come from different churches, different walks of life. And he always gives us the balance. And the reason for that is why we experience it today with your story, Sherry, that your life on how you interact with people does impact everybody around you. And so what we are finding now, that the people in our seats in our choir, they are the salt, they are the light. We give them the word, the Holy Spirit. We have church. They don't know it. But if you came to one of our rehearsals, you would find out, wow, this is like a big, long worship service. For about 2 hours, that's what we do. I had a lady come up to me when our very first rehearsal, named Monique, and she said, Doug, she said, I cannot believe this. She said, she got an invitation in the mail to join the choir, and so she just came, just no contact from anybody. It was just a letter in the mail. And so she said, I got your invitation. She said, I'm so glad that I came. She said, never in my life, and this isn't the first person that said this. I've had this many, many times every season. Somebody comes up. She said, never in my life have I ever felt joy in my heart, joy inside of me, like I feel tonight. And she says, I don't even want to go home. And she said, I don't want this to end. She said, and so she came back, and she's told me several times since then of her experience in the fire choir and how it is so different that when she walks in there, she just feels like she is in another place. And that is what has become with the fire choir. Do you mind if I share a little scripture verse here? I want to go to Ephesians 3:20, and you're going to know the scripture verse, and it's, here it is. Sometimes it's good to know a little bit of background to be reminded the background of the scripture verse that you read. Because when I read this, it's something that you remember, but this is the Apostle Paul, who, if you remember him, what was his other name? Saul, okay? And who was he? He was a bad dude, okay? He was Antichrist, and his life's work was to destroy the church, because he felt that that was evil. And so that's who he was. So now when we read this, we have to understand his understanding of God is unbelievable, because he knows how bad he was, and now it's not how good he was, but he recognized the path that God took him was a 180-degree turn that could never happen in any reality, except for God's reality. So now here's what he's talking, and if you think about the Saul saying this, is kind of like, wow, how great is this? And Paul says this, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more. Paul is an immeasurably more guy, okay? Because if God were to come down and says, okay, Doug, who should I have be one of my apostles that's going to write most of the New Testament? And I would say, well, maybe me. Oh, no, definitely not. How about Billy Graham, okay? But he, you know, you would never say, well, how about Paul, the killer of people, the killer of Christians? You know, that's kind of like, why would you even consider that person? But who did God consider? He went right to Paul. Why is that? I don't know, because that's God. And that's who God is. And our scripture verse is, another scripture verse is, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. If you go to the next scripture, what is that? God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. And Jesus Christ isn't here to condemn us. And that's what the church needs to know. That's what fire choir is doing. Let me finish this verse here. Anyway, so he's able to do more than, immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. This is a special, special verse, and it can be for you too. I just ask this question really quickly as I go on now with our story here. How big are you asking of God? Okay? If you're like me, I grew up in a poor family. I didn't think we were poor because we had what we needed. God provided for us, so I felt like we were like everybody else. But now that I learned more, I thought, wow, we really weren't like everybody else. But yet, I never felt poor. But I did know one thing. I knew that I could not ask for things because they were going to always say no. Whether it was to the store to get gum, no, you can't have it. I want this. No, you can't get that. So finally, and then my parents started using the word, we're poor, we can't do that, okay? So anyway, that's how I grew up. I never asked for anything until it was Christmas, because I figured if I waited all year long, by Christmas, I should be able to at least ask for something. So that's kind of how I grew up. But you know what? Sometimes how we grow up affects how we feel about God. And a lot of times, we misplace what God has given to us, and that is the privilege to ask God for things. And I would not ask for big things. And I realize that is not the way God wants it. God wants us to ask big from Him, because even if we ask big, bigger than our britches, bigger than what we can do, which that's what God wants, that's why God chose us, He chooses what? The weaker to confound the wise or the strong. And that's, I think, God's trait that is so people in the world cannot comprehend it, because we Christians are the weak, and all of a sudden we find we are the ones that are really the strength in the world, and the world actually recognizes folks. But anyway, let's move on. So the power that is according to at work in us is the gifts that God gives you, and beyond that gifts, the natural gifts, God empowers us supernaturally with His Holy Spirit. When we went overseas, we knew God called us there, but we were saying, God, make it work. And then when we put out the invitations, people began to come. And I was anxious for the day when somebody got saved. And a guy in the choir by the name of Yelmer, his name was up on the list. He was the one that got saved. When he finally got saved, I asked him one-on-one finally, because I couldn't, when I'm up on the stage, I'm known as the choir director. People know they can come to the choir because they're not going to be what? They're not going to be attacked. They have this imagination that Christians are kooky, or else all we want is to, okay, listen to this. Non-believers actually believe, and we find this out because a guy that I'm dealing with right now in the choir is experiencing this. And he believes of Christians as all we want to do is get them saved, check them off our list, and go to the next person. We have not developed relationships. And I have to confess, I kind of agree that more often than not, we have not developed friendships with people. We have not really placed importance in people. But yet we go to them and we say, you know, if you died right now, what would you do? Where would you go? You know, and then we go to the next door. If you died right now, where would you go? How can people trust us unless we get to know them? So anyway, here's Yelmer. I have not personally spent a lot of time with him. It's only in the choir. He got saved, and I'm wondering, what was it that happened? And so he says, Doug, when I came to the choir, he said, the first thing, before I was invited to come, he said, so I came because my friend asked me, so I thought, well, I like music, so I'm going to come, and I'm going to at least try it out. So he says, but before I came, Doug, he said, in my mind, I already knew that chances are somebody was going to try to save me. And he says, and I didn't need to be saved. He says, I was doing just fine, and I don't need this stuff. You know, you may need it, but I don't need it. So he said, so I came there already armed, and he said, the moment somebody said anything, he said, I was up and out of there in a heartbeat, and that would be it, and I wouldn't feel bad. And so he said, I came, I sat down, and he said, and nobody attacked me, nobody accosted me, nobody said anything about Jesus. And he said, we just had a real musical rehearsal. And he said, I was kind of like, wow, well, that was this time. So he said, I came back the next week. And he said, again, the same thing, no praying, nothing religious, everything was just great. And he said, in fact, I made friends. So this is, you know, the Lord told us what we needed to be doing. You need to have time where people can fellowship with one another. Dutch love coffee even more than you do, believe it or not. We don't do anything without at least coffee twice. Before you meet, you have coffee, and then while you meet, you have coffee, and most times afterwards, you have coffee. We cut it off afterwards. It's time to go home. But anyway, we allow the Christians to interact with the non-believers. And we don't tell them how to do this because we're stealth. We don't even with our Christians, I don't pull them together. Okay, this is how we're going to act, folks. I never bring them together because I don't want a non-believer to say, now, how come you're meeting with these group of people? You know, what's so different about them? Somebody asked me, Doug, can we just all go upstairs and pray before we come down for the rehearsal? I says, well, wouldn't that look great? Well, where were you guys? What were you doing up there? I says, you can pray at home just as much as you can pray here, I said. Let's remember who we are going to. Folks, we have to know our people, our friends. What is their situation? Be sensitive to them, okay? What I find in my life, everybody isn't the same, and nobody should be presented the gospel the same. I think church is the great place to present the gospel because if they come here willingly, I think that they're ready for it. But they're not ready in the choir rehearsal to come to hear a preaching message, and we don't give it to them. But anyway, Yalmer, so he says, Doug, he said, after a while, I was so comfortable there that it was fine. And I was comfortable. And one day, I was very depressed. I was not feeling good. I was getting ready for work. He said, I felt like I had the weight of the world on my shoulders. He said, but then a song came into my mind. And he said, I started singing it. And then he said, and then I realized it was a fire choir song that we were rehearsing called Change. It's all about changing us, how God changes us. And he said, I couldn't get that song out of my mind. He said, so I went to work. I was still singing that song. He said, by the time I got home, God actually changed my attitude. I felt like everything left my shoulders. I didn't even remember what the problem was or whatever it was. He said, God really, something about this music, he didn't say God changed me. He said, something about this music changed me. And he said, I realized that the music that I was learning was really very deep and could actually affect me. So he said, I began going over my music more, paying attention to the words. And that's exactly the vision that we had, was that God would bring to memory the words of the gospel into their lives. God could speak into their lives through their experiences. And so to finish the story, Yalmer was in the choir now, I think, for probably a couple years, at least 1 or 2 years. And one of his friends in the choir said to Yalmer, he says, I want to ask if you would be the cook in our camp, our kids' camp. And Yalmer said, I love kids. Yeah, I want to do that. So that's what he did for a week. So they drove way up north, did that for a week. Every night they had a little kind of a church meeting with the kids. You know how fun those are, so it wasn't threatening to anybody. But at the end of the week, the evangelist had an altar call, and Yalmer, 6'3", Yalmer, walked up and got saved. As he told me the story and the changes of his life over the period of that year, I could tell the Lord was changing him dramatically even during that time, so that by the time he came up front, that was his profession to the world, I am changed, you know? And we need that moment where we can say to the world, God, Jesus has come into my heart. He has changed me. I want to close. I hope you don't mind my story here. I want to tell you a little bit about a vision that we have for the future of what we're going to be doing. So you know we had the fire choir. And I'll just briefly say this, God has done inimaginably more than what we've asked for, being able to make this all come about. But I've been praying for that we'd be the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir of Europe, and how could that ever happen? Very unlikely, you know? And I said, God, make us a force to be reckoned with in this country. And I even tell my choir this. I don't get spiritual with them, but when I do, it's usually an encouragement telling them, we're going to grow. God has something big. Those are the two things I say. We're going to grow. We're going to be at least 300 people in our choir. We're going to be the largest choir in the country. Right now, we're the largest black gospel choir in the country. And I keep telling them, we're going to be the largest choir in the country. We're going to grow, and great things are going to happen. And I'm going to let them know that God is going to bring this. That's as spiritual as I get, okay? And they're okay with that. Well, a couple years ago, I got a call from California, And that call happened to be from a group of people that make the plans for superstars tours around the world. And this guy said, you want to be our backup singers for Barbara Streisand when she comes to Holland? And immediately, of course, I was shocked. I thought, wow. You know, in what we do, you probably don't get any higher than that, okay? That's probably the height of big, of big. And I thought, wow. Second thing I thought of was really the first thing. I thought, God, you're in this. You did this for us. And only God could take a nobody choir, folks, and raise them immediately from zero up to 100 in a matter of one phone call. And that was what God did. And to get to the end of the story, we have a guy in our choir by the name of Sacco. And the first time he came into the choir, I thought he was a drug addict. Long hair, very sad looking, skinny to the bone. And I thought, oh, this poor guy, I don't know what he's doing here. Maybe he wanted to come in to sit down because get off the street. And so I had the wrong attitude. And so he went and he left by the end of the night. He stayed the whole night. I was surprised. And I told Jackie afterwards, I says, did you see that guy? She said, yeah, I did. I said, yeah, he won't be back. Guess what? Next week, Sacco comes back. I'm thinking, same look, same person. He came back. He's never left us. He has come back. And he's now, I use him, he's not on our spiritual leadership team. He's on our other tier of team of people that we have non-believers to help us, to get them partnershipping with us. And so he comes up to me, he says, Doug, you know those basses over there? That guy over there, he hasn't learned his music, he doesn't know the words, and that one over there, they sound horrible, did you, blah, blah, and the audio guy is horrible. He's just griping and complaining, he's sour, he's always got a pout on his face. That's Sacco. And I just keep praying, and I say, God, you've got him here. So anyway, we go to the Barbara Streisand concert. Actually, God gave us two concerts with her. Nobody else had two. So God gave us a double portion. And then at the very end of it all, Sacco goes on the internet. He writes to the whole choir. Sacco is not this friendly person, you know. He doesn't warm up to people. He's not one that you go up to hug or anything like that. And so that's who Sacco is. But he gets on the internet. For the very first time, he says, I just want you to know, you think that I'm critical. You probably think that I'm sour and I'm angry and I'm critical and all this kind of stuff. I'm thinking, yeah, we do. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. He said this, I want you to know I am so proud to be in the fire choir. I love it. And then he gushed on about the choir, how he never wants to leave it. And I just saw a 180-degree change in Sacco in that email. And I thought, God, you're working in him. And he's a tough nut to crack, and it's just taken some time. So I do see things, and I look at people different. And now when I come in, I was chastised by God to say, Doug, never, never, never think that somebody doesn't belong in here. If I'm sending him in there, they're there for a reason. And that's why we have our arms open wide for anybody, because Jesus did not come to condemn. He never even said a condemning word to anybody on this planet. That's who our Savior is. And we all know that, don't we, firsthand. That's who our choir is. And so when everybody that comes in there, I always think the impossible is possible, no matter who they are. Sacco is an impossible, but God made it possible through Jesus, and Jesus is going to touch him. Anyway, to finish our vision here, we are going to go back next time. We work with Brenda. Judy mentions another missionary we work with who also does theater. And before we even started this ministry, we originally advertised that we were going to come over to do theater and music, and we had some theater plans, but we realized, whoa, God really wanted us to develop the music and get the music going. But in the back of my mind, I still had my other ideas. And I'm thinking, God, what about those? Were they just my ideas? And now that God has placed within 30 minutes from us two other missionaries who all also do the arts, we're thinking, first thing we thought was, how could this be? And Judy and I landed within 2 months of each other. And so we all ended verged together at the same time. And the only thing I can think of, God, what are you doing? Maybe we need to partner together. There's strength in numbers. So we told Judy we wanted to do this. We formed a foundation. Bottom line is, our vision for the next season is to start a artistic, what's my term? Creative Arts Center, thank you. I got a brain blockage here. Performance Arts Center for Amsterdam. And it's not for Christians. It's not for believers to come and learn how to do that thing. It's for non-believers to come and to learn their acting, to be part of theater, to have not just one theater group, but have different theater groups going on. I have a dream of having this big truck that's an 18-wheeler truck that is a theater stage that can open up and a music thing. And have and go from city to city to city on the weekends, because you just can't rent buildings all the time. So why not own our own little traveling building and do it this way and reach people that way? We have just so many ideas and say, God, in your time, and now it's been 8 years, and I'm thinking, God, I think it's got to be in your time. It has to be a little bit closer now. So that is our vision. And what we want to do is we want to include you in our vision. And if you think, wow, this is something that I think God would be into, well, that's our son. That's not what I wanted to show you. Here it is. We have a way that you can pray for us. Number one, we have prayer cards out there, okay? So take one of our prayer cards. Wow, I went way over. And then take one of these things here, and you say, you can tell your pastor, take it to her or send it in or do whatever you want or email us, and you can financially partner with us. Thank you so much for having us today. We want to thank you. Remember, I want to last thing is, God is so big, you just have no idea. Praise the Lord.